Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. As Mizzou football just gets their season started, the other fall sports are underway. We know how much attention Tiger Athletics receives in our community, statewide, and really nationwide. It's frequently referred to as the front porch of the University of Missouri. Tonight, we're going to meet the new Senior Director of Athletics at Mizzou, Mac Rhodes. We sit down for a one-on-one interview in his office at Mizzou Arena and talk not just about things that contribute to wins and losses, but why athletics are such a big deal at a school like this, the benefits and responsibilities of being a student athlete, and what the future holds for Tiger Sports. It's a fun conversation as we sit down with Mac Rhodes tonight, Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. We're talking with Mac Rhodes. He is the Senior Director of Athletics at the University of Missouri. Took the job sometime, I guess, early this year?
April 27th was the first day.
Replacing longtime AD Mike Alden in that position. And I guess for starters, you've been doing this for a few months now. Tell me how it's going.
Well, so far so good, I think. it's been great. 4 months in, and the current staff has been certainly terrific, and been really doing a lot of listening and learning and meeting with individual staff members. I let everybody know when I first arrived that we've got 300 staff members, and I try to visit with with every one of them individually, and I think I'm at about 175, 176. So we're making progress there, and that has been really a great part of the job, is just getting to know just our staff and the different stories about them personally, professionally, and then you learn a lot about your organization. So that's been good. Been fortunate enough to hire some new staff members as well. Ren Baker, our Deputy Director of Athletics, Ryan Bradley, who's our Senior Associate for Strategic Communications, and then Brian White, our Senior Associate Athletic Director for Fundraising or for Development. And so, being able to, again, learn and certainly get to know and feel more comfortable with current staff, and then also bringing in new staff.
You talked about the budget for athletics at the school. Remind me of the number again.
Here will be, this fiscal year, $92 million.
$92 million. There is a lot on the campus that thinks of itself as underfunded. Heck, there's programs closing down. Explain why that's a worthwhile investment for a university like Mizzou.
Well, I think, first and foremost, we're an auxiliary to the university. And so I won't say that we are completely 100% self-funded. The university probably provides us somewhere between 1.5 to 1.75 of that total budget. But, primarily we're self-sufficient.
And to clarify, that's very common within the world of big-time athletics. There's very few athletic programs that are completely self-sufficient, right?
Yeah, there are very, very few that are really self-sufficient, and we're going to grow or move in that direction where, we become completely self-sufficient, and we're even doing some things too with the university where we're gonna help back as well, because we think we have that responsibility. But the athletics program, right or wrong, is what a lot of people, at least initially, identify the University of Missouri mm-hmm. with. And we talk about it being the front porch, yep. Okay, of the university. We may not be the most important room in the house in terms of the university, but we're certainly in the front porch. And so I think we do a lot for the university in terms of its reputation. I also think we do a lot for the city of Columbia in terms of just the economic impact we have on it, and what it means to have the 6-7 home football games here, the basketball games, and wrestling, baseball, softball, all of those things. So I do think we're an really important component to the university. And again, I go back to, we have 550 students that we're responsible for and have a chance to leave here with a degree from a first-class institution.
There will be a home football game this weekend, and there'll be tens of thousands of people there. A lot more will read about it in the newspaper, watch it, or listen to it on the radio, know about what's going on with Tiger football. Men's basketball, great tradition here, maybe not quite as much attention, but still quite a lot of it. But there are 18 other varsity sports at the university. Let's be honest, football really pays the bills, and football's the driver for everything else. But talk to me about the importance of making sure that these other athletes and these other teams and these other sports aren't forgotten entirely.
Well, they shouldn't be. And again, the reality in terms of the business side, we need, football and men's basketball to win and to compete at a very, very high level, okay? But when we think about the well-being of people and our student athletes, 550 of them again, every one of them should have a great experience. It shouldn't be about, if you are on this team, you have a better experience rather than another team. And so, those other 18 sports programs are equally important. And, quite simply, my job as an athletic director is to make sure we give our student athletes and our coaches the necessary resources to be successful. And that's not just those two programs. It's all 20 of them. And we're going to continue to do that and be dedicated to do that because, again, all of those student athletes should have a great experience.
Our guest is Mac Rhodes, Senior Athletic Director at the University of Missouri. It's KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. Let's talk about facilities. Obviously, when we talk about fundraising, we talk about the budget, the money that gets spent. A lot of what's going on is building new buildings. Again, just being totally realistic about it, in the SEC, you've got to keep up with these other schools if you want to be competitive. Talk about where the school is as far as bringing in some new buildings. I know that the South End Zone project is a big priority.
Yeah, well, I think certainly in this conference, if you don't have cranes on campus, you're falling behind. And so, when we look to the future, we think we have about $150 million to $200 million worth of facility projects that we're going to have to embark upon here over the next 5 to 7 years. And, there's been a lot of conversation, talk in the public about a South End Zone facility. And, we've talked about, well, maybe let's not put South End Zone in front of it. We need a football facility. It may very well go in the South End Zone, but we're going to take some time. Not a lot of time, but we're going to take some time to explore some other areas just to make sure you get one opportunity to do this right. We want to make sure that, mm-hmm. that we do it right. But that's talking about all of those facilities in terms of recruiting and the team locker room, the team lounge, sports medicine. You walk into a sports medicine, it used to be called training room, now yeah. sports medicine, and you walk in to several of these, and they have fountains and waterfalls and all of the video stuff. And so we've got to make sure that we're doing all of those things so that we can give Coach Pinkel, the same opportunity that some of our competitors do in terms of recruiting the best of the best. We've got to look at, the football stadium in terms of fan amenities and what do we do there. We've got the Hearn Center, which has been a great, great facility, but it's antiquated. We've mm-hmm. done a couple studies. Everything recommends or suggests that we should tear that down, build a new arena. And so that's really where we're concentrated on, is building a smaller arena, 4,000, 5,000 seats that houses wrestling. You talk about one of our other 18 programs, wrestling finishes fourth in the country last year.
Yeah.
But this arena that would house wrestling and gymnastics and volleyball, we then need to figure out what do we do with indoor track. We've got you know, the Missouri Athletic Training Center, which is a great facility, but it needs to be updated and expanded. And then baseball. You know, there's a lot of conversation, or we've had a lot of conversation about baseball and the SEC, best baseball conference in the country. Do we put $10 to $15 million into that stadium, or do we think about maybe starting over, brand new stadium somewhere, like we're doing with softball, and hopefully the new softball stadium will break ground sometime shortly after the football season. So those are all of the things that, at least in 4 months, we've identified. Now we'll begin to work with the architects beginning next week and really start to put some of these ideas and thoughts on paper.
Let's talk about another program, and as you mentioned before, this is a big deal within the world of college athletics. It's not at the level of football, but it is a big deal, and it's a program with a lot of tradition here at Mizzou, and that's men's basketball, and again, a program that struggled a lot, and talk about where that program is now with Kim Anderson.
You know, I think that it's no secret that that Coach Anderson inherited a tough situation, and so, you know, the challenge, you know, that we've gone out to him is let's build a winning program and not a winning team, and there is a huge difference, and we want him to build it the right way with the right type of young men, okay, surround himself with the right type of people in terms of staff. We're going to get in the trenches with him, and so it will take a little time to get there, but when we get there, then you stay there. And you win consistently, like Coach Stewart did, and so, you know, that's our hope, and we're going to work hard with him. You know, I think this year, you know, we'll improve some, and then, you know, hopefully third year you'll begin to see some significant gain, and that's our expectation for the program.
One of the things that we could always kind of depend upon or expect from your predecessor was a level of patience with some of these coaching decisions. That's got to be a challenge in today's "we got to win now" world in big time college athletics. Gary had a losing record the first 3 years he was the head coach of Missouri football, and it's unthinkable to him not run the program now. But if he was coming along now and had three straight losing seasons, chances are there'd be a whole lot of people calling for his head. How difficult is it with a coach like Coach Jameson, like Coach Anderson, that's having a program that struggled a bit, to say, you know what, it takes a while to build a program, let's give them the time, let's give them the resources, or her the resources, and let them do that?
Yeah, I think it's certainly more difficult today than it ever has been, and you know, and I don't know if that's because of social media, etc., but you know, expectations of fans to, you know, to win and win right away, I don't think has ever been any greater. And you know, for example, you're starting to see coaches, you know, last year we had, you know, a handful of football coaches don't even make it through the season.
Yeah.
And so that's the hard piece, and probably for me, it's about really digging down and knowing the program, and do you believe in that person? Are they developing the right culture? Can you see it get better each and every year? And if you see those improvements, then I'm gonna you know, stick with that head coach. If you can see some progress and you believe in him, then you know, I'm really gonna get in the trenches and certainly support that head coach. And so I think every one of those situations are unique, you know, I'll be patient for, I guess the best way is to maybe describe it is, you know, I'm patient for excellence and not very patient for anything that's not excellence. Mm-hmm. And so you've got to know and believe that program is being built the right way and headed in the right direction.
We're with Mac Roach. You've used a word three or four times I want to explore a little more, and that's culture. And the example that pops into my mind is the reaction from his teammates when Michael Sam publicly acknowledged that he was gay. And there was a lot of, you know, people thinking, wow, that's really great, look at how supportive his teammates were. That didn't just happen. There had been a lot of a program, Pat Ivey, who's a guy that not nearly enough people know about as far as the leadership in this athletic program, in my own humble opinion. These guys put a lot of effort into teaching these guys how to treat other people, your teammates and other people, and some things like that. Talk about how that works within the whole athletic department, because I think that's a part of what goes on with these young people that people really don't know that much about.
Yeah, well, again, a great question. And so that's why Gary Pinkel wins. That's building a program, because he's developed great culture. There's a way to do things. Mm-hmm. And there's an expectation in how, you know, his organization within the overall organization of an athletic program, but there's an expectation of how that organization functions. And certainly, you know, my first year here, we'll spend a lot of time developing our overall organizational culture. What does excellence mean? Okay. How are we going to treat one another? How are we going to work with one another? What does it mean to be a great, great teammate? You know, we gave a plaque out to every staff member that says there's no limit to what you can accomplish if you don't mind who gets the credit. Okay. What does team really, really mean? You know, what is our vision? What's our strategic plan? And so all of those things are, I think, are extremely important. You know, family, you know, what does it mean to be family? And so, again, we'll be very, very intentional in terms of our organizational culture and what's expected of everybody, of all 300 staff members. And we've talked about it already. There's no one staff member that's bigger than the program. And that starts with me. It's about how we collectively come together and build something great.
People who know me and my attitudes towards sports would be sorely disappointed in me if I did not raise issues of sportsmanship and fan behavior. There was a really interesting story out of Manhattan in the last few weeks where the students getting their season tickets had to sign a sportsmanship pledge at Kansas State, and it was a reaction to some problems they had in their game against a rival school, Kansas. But talk a bit about the importance of that, about, you know, on the one hand you want enthusiastic fans, on the other hand people kind of give me that look when I bring it up as if sportsmanship isn't a deal that's to be taken seriously any longer. But that, you get too far over the line there and you get a really embarrassing situation for your school if you're not careful.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, again, going into my first season, I think I do think selfishly we have the best fans in the SEC. But part of that is the sportsmanship component. And I do think there's a line that you can cross. I think if we're, you know, degrading opponents, that's probably a line we're crossing. Let's not degrade opponents. Let's cheer for Mizzou. And let's really build up our student athletes, you know, our coaches, et cetera. And then, in addition to that, it's certainly for us, it's about fan safety. I mean, making sure that, you know, that's a component of sportsmanship, and making sure that we've got a safe place and fans are respectful of one another that are trying to enjoy the game and the environment. So I think it's really, really important. I think our coaches know it's important. It's important for, you know, our student athletes, how they act and react to adversity, because that's a life lesson, and making sure that we handle all of those things in the right situation.
Biggest goal for you in this job?
Wow, that is a really, it's a good question, and it's probably a little bit of an overwhelming question, but I think the number one goal is to build a for all of us, to build a top 10 athletics program, a program that does it the right way, a program that educates young people, student athletes that receive a meaningful degree, that 10 years from now, when they think about their time here, they think about just how much we cared for them as people, mm-hmm. how much we pushed them, how much we were able to get them to get out of their comfort zone, how they grew from the time they were 18-year-old and a freshman and the time that they graduated. And then, you know, hopefully that all the championships. And, you know, winning is really, really important. And it's important because of the life lessons it teaches. You know, you talk to anybody that's ever participated on a winning team, you know, they'll talk about, yeah, you know, it was great to hold up the trophy, but guess what? They'll talk about more the relationships, the adversity, how we came together, how we supported one another. I think, you know, that's what I hope we're remembered for.
We've talked about the other direction and what you're doing for the university. Let's look at it from the other standpoint. Talk about the administration of the school and their support of athletics and how that relationship has to work with you and the chancellor and the president.
I think, you know, especially in today's world, the chancellor and the athletic director, you know, have to be on the same page, supportive of one another. And quite frankly, you know, certainly, you know, the community, the city of Columbia, the university itself, the athletics tradition, those were all reasons why I was intrigued and excited about this opportunity. But certainly one of the most prominent is who are you going to work for? And just knowing of, I didn't know him, but knowing of Chancellor Lofton and his support and understanding of athletics and its role at an institution was critical. And he's been terrific. He's been a great person to work for. And then, you know, our relationship just with campus in general, we can't do this alone. Athletics cannot do this. If we talk about building a top 10 program in the country, we can't do it alone. We need the support of certain entities on campus. And here's the great news. They want to be supportive. And they believe in what we're doing and how we're developing young people. And so it's really a good situation.
The goal of this being a top 10 athletic program is going to probably require more than $92 million a year. Discuss the fundraising aspect and the development aspect of all this, because again, this is a part of college athletics that has really changed pretty dramatically over the years, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think one, too, I want to be clear, when I talk about building a top 10 program, you know, certainly wins and losses, but it's far beyond that. It's, you know, we've got to be top 10 in compliance, top 10 in fundraising. We've got to be top 10 in graduating student athletes. We've got to be, you know, top 10 in APR. We've got to do top 10 in our student athletes going and getting jobs once they graduate. So it's really about a total program. The fundraising piece is a huge component. And, you know, again, when you're talking about $150 million to $200 million, we're going to have to get out and certainly get people excited about our vision, about our program, make sure that they understand that if they invest this money, there will be a return on it. We're going to be very, very careful in how we invest it, how we use it and spend it. You know, I'm a big believer, I've said this before, but, you know, you don't GET unless you ASK. And we've got to get out there and ask for people to get involved. We hired Brian White to as our senior associate AD for development, and he'll head that area, and we'll be very systematic in terms of, you know, who we approach, how we approach it. Here are our goals, and we've got to expand our base. I mean, you know, it can't be the same people that we continue to ask for money. We've got to get new people involved, and I think, you know, we've been able to do that at other institutions, and we'll hopefully be able to do that here.
High-pressure job, a lot going on. We're talking about compliance. We're talking about fundraising, that inevitable call at 2 o'clock in the morning with some problem. Where's the joy come from for you in this job? What's the best part of this?
Best part of it is the young people, and I mean that. And I've continued to say that, but it's truly the best part of it. Here's a side story. Previous institution, there had been a series of things that just happen when you're when you're dealing with 18, 21-year-olds, and one of your programs that was supposed to win wasn't winning because of some serious injuries, and it just, you know, probably, you know, over this course of maybe 3 months, I really wasn't enjoying the job. And I had somebody in the department that I trust and know a lot, and he says, "You know what your problem is, Mac?" He says, "You haven't been spending enough time with our student athletes, with our kids." And so I remember this vividly. I went to my administrative assistant. I said, "Start scheduling time for me to go to practice, for me to be around in the academic center, et cetera." And that's what it's about. It's about being around those young people. And that's the joy every day, is we've got some incredible young people. We really, really do. And some young people that I think are going to have the opportunity to do great, great things here in the future. And so that's what drives me. I would suspect that if you talk to any one of our coaches, that's what drives me.
Tell me about your family. I've gotten to know Rocky Alden over the years very well, and I know that she had a lot of responsibilities as the first lady of Mizzou Athletics, or however you want to describe it. Tell me about your family and kind of how they're fitting into all of what's going on with you as the AD.
Well, you know, Amy is, you know, my wife of 22 years. She's the rock, and she's kind of kept our family together and amongst the craziness. And, you know, I think this is the seventh or eighth place, eighth time we've moved, and so she's kept us all together through all of that. And I tell people, you know, when we left the University of Houston, you know, people I think were a lot more sad that Amy was leaving rather than me. And so she's just a wonderful person. She does a great job. She's genuine. People like her, and I certainly know why. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if without Amy and her support. And then, you know, three daughters who, you know, never were upset if I had to miss a volleyball match or a cheerleading, you know, contest. Or they always understood. You know, I have this situation specifically. My youngest daughter, Noelle, you know, who we're moving her after her junior year, so, you know, she's going to be a senior in high school.
Yeah.
You know, here, or is a senior in high school here, and for her to tell me, "Hey, Dad, look, you know, if you think this is what's best for the family and for your career, then I'm in. We'll make it work." And so, it takes a special family to be able to do, I think, what we do, I'm blessed to have a special family: Amy, Nicolette, Natalie, and Noelle.
And that was our conversation with Mac Rhodes, the new Senior Director of Athletics here at the University of Missouri, tonight on Thinking Out Loud. Remember, you can follow Thinking Out Loud on Facebook. We have a KBIA Thinking Out Loud page there. You can follow me on Twitter at KBIA Morning. And we'll be back next Tuesday evening with another Thinking Out Loud here on KBIA. Till then, for Associate Producer Trevor Harris, I'm Darren Hellwedge. Have a great evening.